Good to see everybody, and we're going to walk the words of life. If you've never seen this, this is very, very important because I'm going to teach you something about wisdom. You know, how many want wisdom in here? How many desire wisdom? Tell me the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. There are three things: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Help me understand the difference between them all. Can I see somebody give me a try? Can you explain the differences between those three? We got a person here. Go ahead. Tell me what are the differences.
Wisdom is fear of the Lord, and understanding is to hate what is wrong.
Okay, good try, but not quite. All right, somebody else. What is the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Because it's critical. Somebody else, give it a try. Over here. Oh. Yes, please. Microphone. Go ahead.
Well, you can have knowledge, but if you don't understand what you can do with it, then you don't have wisdom.
Okay, that's close, very close. Somebody else.
Wisdom is divine insight, and everything else you sort of on your own.
Okay, dog. He says knowledge don't mean nothing. Without wisdom, you're on your own. Well, not quite. It's not quite. Somebody else, give it a try. What's the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? What's the difference? Anybody? We got one more person over here. Come on, let's see what she has to say. What's the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding?
I'm going to start with knowledge. I think knowledge is just simply knowing. And I know in the Bible it says, with all that getting, get understanding, for wisdom is the principal thing. Mm-hmm. So I think from that perspective, understanding is what? Deeper than knowledge? I don't know. And
good.
Wisdom
good.
Would be the ultimate, consummate understanding, or a consistent application of understanding.
Now, I'm confused. That's awesome.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Because that's how I look at it. I just think knowledge is the basic knowing. You can have knowledge of something, but not have understanding of what it is, just like
yes.
He said, and then also not exercise that understanding by being wise. So that's just what I think.
Very good. Very good. Okay. I like it. All right, so let's talk about it in terms of a puzzle, okay? Let's talk about the difference between the three in terms of a puzzle, okay? I want you to imagine for a second. I want you to go pick from an imaginary store a box on the shelf. And on the shelf is a 1,000-piece puzzle, okay? I want you to pick out the one that you like. Would you go ahead and reach for the shelf and pick out the one with the picture on it you like? Go ahead and reach it out, hold it in your lap, take a look at it. I'm not going to ask you what you're going to put together because someone might say, like, unicorns, and then we all laugh. Okay, so, all right, you have your box in front of you, okay? I want you to open up your box. Go ahead and open up your box, please. Open up your box. Okay, good. Some of you are absolutely following everything I'm saying. Perfect. I love it. And I want you to look at what's in your box right now. Okay? What do you see?
Puzzle pieces,
yes. What else do you see about those puzzle pieces?
Colors.
And if I can have, yeah, just yell it out. What else do you see in those puzzle pieces? Shades, what shapes? Patterns. Okay, what else?
Colors.
Huh?
Edges.
Good. What else you see in that box?
Out of order.
Stuff out of order. Yeah, good. What else?
Shapes.
Okay, what else?
Pictures
and cardboard. Okay, so when you open up the box of a 1,000-piece puzzle in your life, knowledge is the bits of information that makes you you. Bits of information that makes you you. Have you ever met somebody who can't, I mean, man, they can't talk to anybody, but they know little details about everything? They could tell you when one show came on and another. And some people that are sports people, it baffles me. They'll say to me, I can't study the Bible. But they can remember every baseball player and their ratings and rankings by knowledge. They know every piece along the way. See, the difference is a person can have a whole lot of knowledge, okay? But knowledge in itself doesn't do it. You can't just have knowledge for the picture to be clear. You have to see, because there are scientists today that have tons of knowledge, right? They'll blow you away with their knowledge. They can tell you about molecules and photons and electrons and neutrons and talk to you about physics and everything else like that. But when you ask them about God, they say there is no God. Yet the Bible says, whoever says there is no God is a fool. Amen. A fool. Man, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So he has a bunch of knowledge, but no understanding. Okay? So knowledge in and of itself doesn't mean everything. I didn't say it didn't mean anything. I says it doesn't mean everything. And I think, am I too loud? I'm not too loud. Oh, okay, great, great. That's the first time I heard that. Okay. So knowledge in and of itself is not enough. Knowledge is the box with all your pieces in there. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your fingers in the box and kind of shuffle around the pieces a bit within your hand. Feel them in your hands. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to start putting a section of the pieces together. A section of the pieces together. That let's say if you're doing a horse, you see a little leg, you see a hoof. Okay, if you're doing the kitchen, you got the shelf or the refrigerator piece right there. But you got a 1,000-piece puzzle. There's a whole lot more to see, right? See, when you put those pieces together, that's wisdom. That's understanding you are putting pieces of knowledge to work with one another. Okay? Pieces of knowledge working with one another. I use the same illustration when I talk about education and people that are very educated. They have knowledge and they may even have wisdom. They can put that knowledge to work. They can make it look good. They can put your message together. They can put a teaching together. They can work for companies. They could be all around the world, do a lot of things in a lot of places. And yet, they have only two parts of the whole. Is your puzzle finished right now? Can you look at your puzzle and say, I'm done? Okay, now it's time for understanding. See, understanding is when you put the whole thing together and you see how every piece fits. And when everything is put together, it presents an image. Now you understand why the pieces fit together, why they were in the box. It was creating an image, and that image, that fullness of getting what you're looking at is understanding. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? Amen. So we have to then begin to ask the question, what are we strong in? Wisdom? Maybe knowledge? Or understanding. Because a person with understanding, that is the critical thing. Having understanding is the key. With all thy wisdom, get a good understanding. So it even trumps wisdom. People think, well, I want wisdom. Well, we all want to be wise. But is your wisdom being used with understanding? Socrates was wise. Plato was wise, but none of them had understanding. They talked about the afterlife. They talked about who God may be or the God mind, but they didn't know him. They didn't understand him. But what God wants to do is give you good understanding. Now, how many in this room would say you did something silly in your life? Amen. Everybody but Skip. Okay, got it. All right. No problem. Everybody at some point in our lives have done something stupid, and I would peradventure say silly. Has anybody done anything silly in your life where you're like, man, I can't believe I did that in front of everybody, right? Anybody ever done that before? I mean, and you're ashamed. You're like, man, I should have just been chill, you know, in retrospect. I should have not said anything, you know, because I thought that was going to work. And I remember one time it was one of the first times I was invited to go speak at Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you know, and I was a minister, right? So here they invited me. And it was what their big rally. People knew about me, and they were like, man, we want to get Steve Yates to come speak at our group. We want Steve Yates. Man, that dude's on fire. That man, woo, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, they want Steve Yates, yeah. And so I had a little bit of knowledge. Had just a tad bit of wisdom, right? So I come to the meeting, and I'm like, yeah, okay. And I'm looking, and it's all bright. And they say, hey, is there anything you need? I said, yeah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me a chair and put it in the middle, please. And do you have anybody that plays guitar? And yeah, we got the band. Okay, I want you to play some guitar music behind me while I speak. I was going to make that thing work. I was like, I get me some guitar music. Yeah, go ahead and play some. Yeah, all right. I said, turn the lights down low. Okay. All right. I'm like, man, I got this thing. And I remember I said, y'all got a fan? You got a fan for me? Because I might get hot up there. They got this little fan, and they stuck it on the counter, and I'm like, oh, that feels good. And so they said their opening prayer, and they said, we turn it over to Steve Yates. And I had my message, man, I had it down. I was working on it all day, had to write it down. I was about to work it. It was like 4 or 5 pages, and I was like, man, I'm going to work this thing. So I'm sitting here, and it's Steve Yates. I said, waving at everybody. And I said, hey, yeah, I'm here to speak to you. And the wind blew, that fan blew my papers all across the stage. And I'm looking at them, and I'm like, yeah, I'm here to talk to you about, and I'm pulling the papers back together, put them on there, and every time I put it down, it'll blow another one off, and I put it back, and I blow it off, and my mouth is getting dry, and I'm Steve Yates, the main man you want to speak, and I just want to say, and my mouth got so white, and so dry. And I'm like, I was so shamed. You ever been shamed? You know, and them kids, the kids don't know how to hide nothing. They're like, I mean, they looking at you. And I saw one kid going, I mean, it was that bad. And I'm trying to be cool because, you know, lights are low and the fans blowing my papers everywhere. And my mouth is dry and they had no water. And I'm sitting there going, hey, can I have some water? Can I have some water? Hey, and I'm trying to keep them in. I was shamed. I said, see, that was just being silly. Why? Because I wanted the attention. I wanted to be successful because they want to, you know, I want to impress them. Man, I should have just went in there with a piece of paper and said, hey, you can put me on the stand. I don't care. Just let me talk the word. You know, I should have just been humble about it. But I was proud and arrogant. And I learned that day God broke me like a candy bar. I mean, he broke me. I learned from that day forward, man, you better be yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, be yourself. Look at your other side and say, goy. Y'all missed it. It's called get over yourself. That's goy. And so I wish I would have learned that lesson a long time ago. But in reality, the problem was I was silly. There was some silliness still in my life. Some foolishness. Yeah? Some of us got some foolishness in our lives. Right? It ain't all gone. No, it comes out when you get tapped by life sometimes. And all that foolishness comes out of you. And you're like, Lord. And when it's all over, people are like, stop. You know, why are you acting like that? And you're shamed at the end of the story. Okay? Now, this is what I want you to pay attention to. See, it's the lenses we look through, and it's the book of Proverbs. See, everything you see in life is because it's all you know. You are looking through lenses that tell you about you and how the world works. Yeah. And what you decide the world works by is how you react to it. But listen, may I suggest to you that the book of Proverbs should be read and reread and read again and get a tattoo and do all this other stuff. I mean, Proverbs is that good because it has the capability of giving a person not only knowledge, but wisdom and understanding. And so tonight, I want you to understand what the book of Proverbs is supposed to be for. The book of Proverbs is to not give you how to see, how to tell other people what's right and wrong. I need you to catch this. Write that down. Proverbs is not for you to tell somebody else what to do. Please write that down. Proverbs is not for you to tell somebody else what to do. It's for you to know what to do. See, Proverbs is the best way I can describe Proverbs, it's a pair of glasses. And as a pair of glasses, you look through them and you see the world. And Proverbs allows you to see what's happening to you 360. Because sometimes we don't know how to interpret what we're looking at. Right? Things happening around the world. Right now, in our world, we got one nation right now talking about, listen, the only thing I can do to shut President Trump up is to blow him up or blow up another country. And the president's saying, we're going to blow you up, and that's going to blow. And people are caught in the middle, and they're like, what in the world are we going to do? How do we react in this kind of environment? How do we see the world? Well, with everything going on the news and in school and what's right, what's not right, what is good, what isn't good, how do you know to look at what you're looking at and be able to tell what it is? How? Proverbs. Proverbs will give you a good understanding. And it will change the silly people. Write that down. It will change silly people. Now, I say that because I was number one silly man. I was silly. And I could say it with a straight face. I know I was. I know, man, I was goofy. When I was coming up, Chanita used to be so ashamed of me. We would be out in public, and I'd do something to get people's attention, and she'd be like, oh, my God, no, you just didn't do that. And I would do it all the time. I thought it was funny. And I would do stuff, and I would crack jokes, and I'd try to be the guy that everyone liked, you know, keep the party going. And I was being silly so much, she was ashamed of me. Wasn't that right, Chanita? Amen, sister. And so there comes a point where you have to wisen up, grow up, mature, see the world as it is and not as you want it to look. That's the critical thing. We got to be okay with what we're looking at. And this is for everybody at every age. I mean, if you're in high school, you could be in grade school. I'm telling you, this is the book to change your world, okay? Many men do a lot of men ministries, but the kicker is what men need to read Proverbs just as strong as women, because Proverbs will give you an identity. See, so many people don't have an identity of who they are. They don't have an identity what a good wife is. So how can you be a good wife if you've never read Proverbs 31 of the virtuous woman? It gives you characteristics. It gives you attitudes. It gives you the view of what a good woman is. It won't go by tradition. It tells you that the fruit of a woman looks like this. And this is how the man is. And you know, when I came up, I told God, I want to be like the Bible's men. I want to be like that. And the Bible called a good man that married a virtuous woman, he called him an elder in the gate. Does anybody know what that means? What is an elder in a gate? Does anybody know? You want to give it a try? I thought you had. I thought you were going. Almost. Elder in a gate. I'm telling you what it is. You want to give it a try? Well, hold on a second. Let's get you on microphone. Hold on a second. We have live people around the world who want to hear your voice.
Oh, a woman of experience.
Yes. No. Well, the elder in the gate, you're very close to that. Absolutely. What would happen is this. Whenever transactions happen, that's where the men of important status, that's where they were. They sat at the gathering of the gate, and they would talk business. They were the movers and the shakers of their community. They were the ones who knew how to make things happen, and they were elders in the gate. People knew if you needed something done, find one of those guys. Do you remember the story of Ruth? When Ruth wanted to marry Boaz, there was a problem. Does anybody know what the problem was? You think you know what the problem was? Go ahead.
You had to marry the closest cousin or the closest person related to you.
Wow. How old are you?
10.
10. That's right on the money. What ended up happening was Ruth wanted to marry Boaz, but the law said the closest relative had to marry Ruth. And so Boaz wanted to marry Ruth, but he wasn't the closest relative. So where did he go? Boaz went to the elders of the gate. And they said, hey, listen, I see you here. There's a woman over here that's in my, you know, been working in my fields. And you got some, you know, she's not married. Do you want to take her to wed her and raise up her children? So they can have an inheritance in your land. And the man was like, man, I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. And Boaz says, well, can I take it? Sure. And they made a deal. They took a shoe off between themselves. That was the way that they made deals. And Boaz became the husband of what we now to be known Ruth. Ruth had a child. That child was named Jesse. Jesse had a child. That name was King David. That's how powerful that was. Boaz was the son of Rahab, the harlot that lived on the gates of Jericho. So there was a God, and God used each of the lineage to get all the way down to Jesus through that same line. It was through people who followed the wisdom of the word of the Lord, and they were wise in what they did. So here's the thing. When you are trying to identify who you are in God, you don't know that unless you see a reflection of it first. There's no way for you to know how to be a good woman unless you allow the word teach you how to be a good woman. Because it isn't natural. What's natural is to tell somebody no. Right? How many when you were a baby and you were hungry, how many ever seen a baby before? Does he ask you for a piece of your pie? If he's hungry, what does he do? He cries. He has no shame because he doesn't know any better. That's all he knows. I'm going to cry. I'm going to make a noise until somebody feeds me, right? Well, the difference in Proverbs is this. It is set so that you may be fed and know who you are. So I want everybody to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to take chapter 1 and go from there. Proverbs chapter 1, please. And so that most of you may know, Proverbs, who wrote Proverbs? Does anybody know? How many believe Solomon wrote Proverbs? Okay, we got like five people. How many think Solomon didn't write Proverbs? How many don't know? Okay. Solomon wrote a portion of Proverbs. It was also written by other men and a mother. Okay? So there is some wisdom in here that you need to look at, all right? But we're going to start with chapter 1 because I'm going to walk it and we're going to start applying. I want you to take notes now as we walk this. This is the thing that has to be applied to your life. Once you get it, it makes sense. And why I call it lenses for us to see through is because when you see this, it isn't for you to say, oh, you're a bad person or you're a bad person. It's to understand what's happening to you and what's happening in the world. Everybody got that? Okay, let's begin. Proverbs 1. Let's all read together. The Proverbs, we're going to come from the King James. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. I need you to understand something. Wow, that's powerful. Underline the point, underline the word perceive understanding. To perceive the words of understanding. That's critical. Why? Because perception happens in your spirit. When you perceive something inside, that's that inside knowing. It's not simply a knowledge thing. It is, I believe this is the case. This is the case. You know it. It's inside of you. You want to know things by perception. When you know things by your spirit, man, you're done. You got it. And so the Bible talks about to know wisdom and instruction. That's a head thing. And to perceive the words of understanding. You'll know when something is right. See, this is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. How is that done? How is that done? That's through perception. You'll hear someone go, that don't sound right. You ever had that happen before? And you may not be very versed in the Bible, but when you heard it, it didn't sound right. You're like, no, the spirit in me don't agree with that. Something's wrong with that. Okay? That's your perception at work. Okay? Now listen to what he says. He goes on to say this, to perceive the words of understanding, meaning someone has something to offer you, but if you don't sit to listen, you can't get it. Man, it's quiet tonight. Everybody tired? Here, listen, you need to get this. Watch this. There is always something that someone of wisdom has to say. And you've got to be perceptive enough to know, I got to get that. Okay? I have to have that. And so someone wants to give you something. And Proverbs starts out to say, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding. Watch this, verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice. Someone tell me what justice is. Justice. What is justice? Someone, what is justice? Anybody want to give it a shot? Over here. There's a ring, please. What is justice?
To fight for what's right.
To fight for what's right. How many, watch this now. Let me ask you a question. We think in terms of Christianity as being good or bad. But what happened to justice? Justice isn't about you. Justice is about standing up for somebody else. How many times in our Christian walk are we ever taught that we need to stand up for other people? You know, in the World War II, they had a Japanese internment. Anybody remember that? They had the Japanese internment. When we were at war with Japan, they took the Japanese Americans that were here in the United States, they gathered them up and they put them in a prison camp. Did you know that? How many knew that? Okay, how many didn't know that? Okay, that's exactly what they did. They took up all the Japanese and they put them in internment camps, and it wasn't the best ways of living. Who stood up for them when we said, wait a minute, they're not from Japan. They're not at war with us. Who would stand up and begin to speak and say, this isn't right? How many remember when we went to war with Iraq, right? How many remember that when we went Desert Storm and those things? We also gathered people into Guantanamo Bay, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And we looked and we said, okay, it's for natural interest. But there were some people in there that didn't belong in there. And yet they were still there. And my prayer during this whole season was like, who's standing up for them? God, God, how do we do something for the innocent that's been brought in with all the guilty? See, we've got to think, go back to the 50s. What was happening in the 50s? Civil rights. Why? Now, let me say this. Just so you know, when we're doing fight to power, we're not Black Panthers, okay? Okay? It just simply means we're fighting spiritual warfare, okay? Let me just put it down for the record, because some people may think otherwise. When they see African American going, fight to power, they go, wait, there's a Panther. No, we're fighting spiritual warfare. But in the early 1950s, the battle on the battle line was, if you were an African American, you couldn't even sit at a counter at a table, in a restaurant. You had to go to the bathroom that was made for you. You had to go into the back of the restaurant to eat. You couldn't eat out in the front. There were so much bigotry and violence against that group of people who stood up in God and said, this is wrong. How many have ever heard the March to Selma, Alabama? How many ever heard of that? Does anybody remember what took place, what it looked like? What do you remember? Someone share with me what that was. Raise, you got a hand up over here. Please keep your hand in the air, please, so we know where to go. What was that like?
That was when the members tried to cross over the bridge and they met with resistance.
Okay, so you had on one side the sheriff and dogs and hoses. And on the other side, who was on the other side? Who was on the other side? That's the question. No, the army wasn't there. Who? Come on, speak up. Don't be ashamed. It's very important.
Caucasian whites.
Haitians? Whites were on the, that was on that side. Who was on the other side? Black folks. And who else? See, that's the problem. We never give credit for those who walked with the African Americans. We always think it's always African Americans that were walking there, but there were also Caucasians who stood up out of the crowd and said, I'm not going to be a person who ignores what's happening. And they stood up and they walked across that bridge and they experienced the same thing African Americans did. It had nothing to do. Let's look at this in a spiritual standpoint. Take away the color. Color is a big issue in the Western culture, right? Color is a big deal in our country, but in other countries it's tribe. Are you from the Zulu tribe or are you from this tribe? And in other countries, it's religion. In Ireland, it's are you Catholic or are you Protestant? There is all kinds of racism and all kinds of bigotries. And it's just based on the country you live in. It isn't the same everywhere. But then they were all walking together and there was a man, many men who stood up that were not African American and fought for justice. Everybody say justice. See, God says to receive instruction of wisdom and justice. I need you to catch this here, please. The question was asked to Billy Graham. How many know who Billy Graham is? Okay. How many know how important he was to the kingdom of God? Okay. Here's what Billy Graham said. He says, let me tell you what my greatest regret was in my whole ministry. He said, I did not walk with Martin Luther King. Being Christian and knowing something's wrong, you are not to just ignore it. You've got to do something. I mean, think about it right now. What around you in this city alone demands justice? Look around. Ask the question, what is it around us, regardless of the color of our skin? What is it that if I stood up and said something, it would change? What is it? God, in his word, never excludes us from putting our necks out on the line. God says, if you're going to know wisdom and understanding and knowledge, you must understand the importance of justice. If there are people hungry and we're, like right now, we've got the biggest drug epidemic in this city you could ever imagine. It is, I mean, heroin has taken so many lives. And yet, who will stand up to fight it? Who will stand up for the child that's being abused in the neighborhood? Who will stand up for the man that was being treated bad on the job, or the woman that was overlooked because of the color of her skin? Who will stand up for feeding people when all the money is going to some place where it should go to another? Which one of us will grow in wisdom enough to be strong enough to stand for justice? I want you to ask yourself, when was the last time you stood up for somebody else? I want you to think about how long that was, if ever. When was the last time you stood up for principled reasons for somebody else. One of the most powerful moments in my life came when I was with a bunch of guys on FAMU's campus. And while I was on campus, I was with about 20 guys, and this car passed me, almost hit me. And you know me, I looked at it and said, what's going on? This, you know, just being myself, silly. And the car stopped, backed up. It was a gray and burgundy Jaguar. Backed up, and four men got out of the car with masks, covered their faces, and had pistols in their hands. And one walked over to me and stuck it right between my eyes. And I was walking with 20 big dudes. I had enough sense to look around and see, man, does he not see all these brothers with me? And I turned around, and they were halfway, about a mile away. I don't know when they left, but they were booking. All of them were gone, except one dude. One dude stood with me. And that was I never out of my entire life forget the man who said, I'm not going to run because this ain't right. I'm going to help you. And, of course, we got out of it, but the real story is, who would have stood out of all those men when something wrong was being committed? See, this is the key. When wisdom comes in your life, when understanding comes in your life, let me tell you something. I want you to turn real quick. I'm going to show you something. Go to Ecclesiastes number 1, chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And this is very important that you understand. This same Solomon who was writing in this book wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, it's very important to know this. He wrote Proverbs in his youth. He wrote Ecclesiastes in his old age. Listen to what he says. The words of the preacher, that's what he called himself, the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Listen to what he says. Vanity of what? Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanities of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. What wisdom did to him was to understand this temporary stuff, it doesn't matter. All is vanity. When you get, okay, man, I got to have the right kind of shoes. I got to have the right kind of clothes. I got to be the one heard. I got to look good. And you got to be out there. And everybody got to see me. And we all know you're going to get old. You ain't going to be cute forever. Someone got to love you just for you eventually. Come on now. I ain't never seen no grandmas on Miss America. I ain't never seen it. I'm telling you, you got to realize at some point in your life, you're going to need for someone to love you for what? You. Beauty goes away. Cars will rust. You want to buy a house? House can get hit by a hurricane. Vanity of what? Vanities. All of that doesn't matter. And so notice the difference of what he says. Ecclesiastes, he's talking the label you create. But in Proverbs, he's talking about character that God wants to create in you. That, he never says, is vanity. He talks about character. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 again. Watch this. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, and to be able to perceive the words of understanding, verse 3, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment. Watch this, judgment. What is judgment? What is judgment? To receive instruction of wisdom. This whole book is based on a teaching to let you get something. It's wanting you to have something. What does it want you to receive? Wisdom, justice, and judgment. Man, for a silly man, that's important. Because you would do foolish things if you don't understand judgment. Judgment has the ability to look at what is happening. It is, what is the law? What is the God's word on that thing? What is the final matter of this? How do I judge between right and wrong and up and down? Judgment gives you the ability to go, nah, it looks good. It looks like it's, man, everything is saying yes. But something in me is saying no. Have you ever had that happen to yourself? You're looking at some, man, they look good. But I'm telling you, you don't know what's on the inside of them. Ah. Man, I had a woman come to me. Let me put it this way. A woman came to me and handed me 3 pictures. And that's one of my gifts, is I can look at a picture and tell you about the person. So she handed me 3 men. And she said, what do you know about these? And I walked them down, one after the other, boom. Boom. And I said, he's like this. And I remember getting to the last dude. I said, this is a snake. I said, this cat right here, he will hurt you. This one right here, this one is so self-centered that he will ruin your life. And she just wept. And she said, you right on the money. She said, he been trying to get me to marry him. I said, not this one. This one you don't want. See, when you have the words of wisdom and judgment inside of you, you have the ability to judge between the two. And some people can't do that. Now watch this. And what? What's the last word? What does that mean? Tell me, what does it mean to know equity? What's fair? That's the best way I could put it. To know what is balanced. Everybody say balanced. Write that word down, balance. I need balance. Equity. See, because everything ain't all spirit. And everything ain't all word. You got to have word and spirit. You can't be running around here jumping, and then when you walk out of here, you don't know what to do. No, you ought to have power, and you also have to have spirit. You got to have both. Okay? That's equity. That's balance. I believe our church is a balanced church. We don't just run around talking about power. We don't run around. All that stuff can happen, but we teach the word, doctrine. We study. We have to go in that word because, listen, you got to leave here. Listen, when you walk out this door, adios. I'm going home. I love you, but I can't be with you. I got to go to my house. So you got to learn, I love you, but you got to learn how to live in your house. So you need the same thing I'm telling you. You got to have that power to take outside these 4 walls. See, what he wants in Proverbs is to give you instruction on how to get wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, balance in your life. How many think they need balance in your life? See, because most times we either work, anybody a workaholic, anybody know someone that's a workaholic? Come on. Or somebody who's an enabler, and it's, sometimes, don't raise your hand. I got to put it on the front end. But sometimes we enable people and we don't have balance to say, no. We are scared to make people feel bad. So we let people walk right over us. We don't want to make anybody mad. So when people treat us disrespectful, we don't say anything. We just take it. We don't have any boundaries. We don't have any levels. We just, I'm afraid. I don't want to make nobody mad. Listen, you better have some balance. You know, this is what we used to say back in the prayer group days. We used to say, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. You got to have some balance in your life. You can't always be running after a relationship. You've got to learn to be by yourself. Come on, somebody. You know, before I even got married, listen, I learned to go to the movie and enjoy my popcorn and get me some hot dogs by myself and enjoying myself. Walk out of there like, man, I'm happy. I didn't need somebody to make me happy. I learned to sit down in the movie and enjoy the movie all by myself. That's balance. So that when you get with somebody, you're not saying, come with me, I need you, why aren't you saying nothing, why aren't you looking at me, why aren't you talking to me, why aren't you, that's not, because you've been unbalanced for the most of your life. All you've ever done is had a person in your life, but you've never learned to live alone. I'm teaching somebody up in here, I don't know why. Listen to me now, God is trying to tell you something. You wonder why things are wrong in your life. It's because you never learn to live alone. You have to learn to be okay with yourself.
Amen.
Equity. That's what Proverbs offers. Let's get back down to thinking. Let's get our mind right. That's what Proverbs offers. You don't have to stay the way you are. You don't have to stay the way you were. Let's get down, get the mind right. Watch this. He goes on to say, I love this verse. This is where it really gets me. Go, everyone read verse 4 out loud. Okay, let's try that again. The word is subtlety. Okay, go. What? To give what? Woo! Come on, somebody. To give subtlety. My God. Some people need to know to be subtle. Some people don't know, hey, listen, you don't go bark, you don't come tell everybody, hey, this is how it ought to be. You need to hush. Say with me, hush. See, they say hush because it goes with a song. Somebody's calling my name, right? Hush, hush. Somebody's calling my name. Hey, 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 hush. See, let me tell you something. I'm telling you, there comes a point where you got to be subtle. You can't be loud all the time. You got to know you can't do business if you're the biggest clown in the room. Oh, let me tell you something. This was from a millionaire. Here's what he said. He said to this boy, he and this young man took on his wing. The man was very intelligent, very skilled, very, very good ability, but uncomfortable in his own skin. And the billionaire took him to a business meeting in another country. It was in Dubai. And they were talking millions of dollars. And the young boy with him, the young man with him went, and he's sitting at a table with these businessmen, and he's cracking jokes with everybody. He's just cracking jokes. And afterwards, the businessman looked at him and said, listen, let me tell you something. He says, rule number one, never be the only clown in the room. Nobody respects you. They're waiting for you to get out of that little car and get back in, because all you are is entertainment. See, you got to know subtlety. When you are around people of import, how do you carry yourself? Do you demand the world conform to you? Or do you learn in certain circumstances, you got to change the way you act? Come on, somebody. You know, you just can't come into church and think it's your house. It ain't going to work in here. Right? You can't come up here and start screaming, I'm going to have some nice ushers lovingly take you to the back and pray for you, praise the Lord, and maybe even lay hands. Amen. But subtlety is about understanding the environment that you're in, understanding who you, men of influence, and walking around men of influence, and learning how to be a woman or a man of God in the midst of other people. That, man, that right there is subtlety. The Bible talks about David, that David grew and was prudent in all of his ways. In other words, he had subtlety. He knew how to act among men and women of influence. He was prudent. That was the nature of David. He learned how to get among people, kings and leaders, and was able to act right instead of acting like a fan or overwhelmed. See, subtlety we all need. We all need it. Because subtlety, look at this, it gives subtlety to the simple. And when we talk about subtlety, it's what we do when we are uncomfortable. We act. You know what subtlety means in the Hebrew? Write this down. Simple. In the Hebrew, simple means silly. It actually means silly. To give subtlety to the silly. You know, there are some people that, you know, this is the generation where kids stay with moms and dads till they're like 45 years old. I mean, why are we laughing? That's the truth, ain't it? 45, 50 years old, you know, on the couch, potato chips, man, playing Xbox, man, playing PlayStation, man. They just, yeah, leave me alone. Mom, where's my shoes? Listen, you're 45 years old. Get your own place. Watch this. You're 21, 22. Why does your parents have to lead your life? Why haven't you progressed? Why is there no balance in your life? To give what? Subtlety to the simple. Now, you may think I'm a tough parent, but let me tell you what I did when Dustin hit 18. Dustin just turned 18, and he went off to college, right? But before he did, when he turned 18, I called, he didn't expect it, I called the whole family. Come on, everybody, come in the kitchen. Come on, everybody. Everybody, come on in. And I was like, yeah, Dustin, come on down, man. Come on down, Dustin. And everybody's wondering, well, Dad, what's he doing? He's all excited. I'm like, come on, gather around. Come on, gather around. This is awesome. Gather around. Yeah. I said, okay, Dustin, to celebrate your 18th birthday, I want you to do me a favor. He goes, sure, Dad. I said, I want you to go in the kitchen, and I want you to get a plate. Just get any plate off the shelf. And he walks in the kitchen. He's so excited. He's shuffling through the plates. Pulls out a plate. Come on. Everybody's all excited. What Dad's going to do? I said, let me have that plate. And he took the plate. I said, Dustin, on behalf of your 18th birthday, plow, right on the floor. Didn't I do it? Broke the plate. I said, as of right now, you don't have a plate in this house. You better grow up and be a man, because as of right now, you a man. Done. You ain't going to stay here forever. You ain't going to live in my house forever. So I set a standard. Bam, boy, you ain't got no plates in here now. Mm-mm. That was symbolic. When you come home, you got to ask me, can I get a plate? Yes, that's my plates in there. No longer yours, because I took care of you. That was ours. But now that you've grown, that's mine. See, balance. See, we have to teach our children to grow up. We can't always tell them we're going to be there for them. No, we got to tell them, I'm not coming. There are times where we have to tell people, I can't do it. I can't do it. Now, you knew better. I didn't taught you better. You've been around me too long to do. I'm not going to pull you out. You're going to have to learn to swim. See, balance. You mean when we talk about enabling? That's what we are. We're the enabling generation. We enable children to become old people in our house. Y'all came on the wrong night. I'm sorry. Let me keep reading. Y'all were looking for something else. I'm sorry. To give subtlety to the silly or the simple, and watch this, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. What does it mean to have discretion? This is important. Now, listen, I'm asking because, you know, most of us really haven't asked these questions. So, we need to start asking these real questions out of Proverbs so we could find where we are. What's discretion? What is discretion?
To know, like, when to say something, when not to say something.
Absolutely. To know when to speak and not. Sometimes you get mad. You got to know when to speak, when not to speak. Proverbs wants to give you discretion. All he's doing is setting up. He's inviting you to come into this book. Do you see this? Proverbs is just the whole start is to tell you what it can offer you. What a wonderful book. It tells you, I can give you this. He gives the young man knowledge, meaning he'll give you information and then he'll use discretion. Because when you get more information, you aren't to tell everybody what you know. You can't tell everybody what's in here. Because if you got a dream, you can't be telling the dream killers. If you got a vision, you can't tell it to vision killers. You got to know, listen, this thing in me is percolating. It's percolating. And I can't pour it out to somebody who can't see what I see because they're going to waste it. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you got to let that vision, that dream percolate until it starts to bubble up on the inside and the pressure builds. And then all you do is just prove your point. But when we tell too many people, we take the gas out of our cars. We done said it, so now I don't have to do it. Ah, God. Some things, when you want to change, don't tell everybody, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. Things are going to be changed. No. Do it. Do it. See, discretion says, you know, they ain't going to hear me no more. I can't keep telling them I'm going to do. I need to hold my peace, and I just need to perform. Because when I perform, then they'll know the fruit of my tree. When I was here, when I was looking to start the church in Leesburg, I had one of the pastors here in town. I went to an African-American pastor, and I went to a white pastor. And the African-American pastor told me, listen, you can't have a multicultural church in this city. He actually told me that. He says, bro, it can't exist. He says, because of this reason. He says, black people will follow a white pastor, but white people won't follow a black pastor. Come on now. Isn't that foolishness? That's foolishness. He looking at the outside and of the person's skin and not looking at the content of the word of God in a man. Are you kidding me? When you find someone that has the word, I don't care what color they are, you're going to be hungry enough, you'll sit under them and you'll grow. If you got something that will feed you, you better not look at the outside of them. And this man said, you can't do it. And he laughed at me. I remember he said these words to me. He says, T.D. Jakes is a black pastor. And he's better than you. And he has an all-black church. Cleflo Dollar is a black pastor. And he's bigger than you. And he has an all-black church. Bill Winston is a black pastor. And he's smarter than you. And he has an all-black church. So what are you going to do? What makes you think you could do it when they couldn't? Well, listen, first of all, I said to him, dude, if it's different, just go ahead and talk to God because he's the one who told me to do it. So, you know, it's not my problem. I don't have to validate myself. I just say, hey, listen, this is what he told me to do. That ain't my problem. You got a problem with it. Take it up with him. And then I had a white pastor to come to me and say, Steve, you know, God made you black for your people. Go back to your people. Set your people free. I'm like, did he just say what I think he just said? I can get shocked sometimes. I'm like, oh, no, he didn't. Set your people free. And I'm like, are you serious? We're stuck here. Now I understand why God told us to build a multicultural church in Leesburg. Yeah, he said, Steve, I got a people that don't care about color, don't care about skin. All they want is me. You need to go and give them me. That's all they want. And I don't know how we got to be multicultural, but we are. And I don't know how it happened, but it is. And God knew what he was doing. And to this day, all those men now look at me crazy. I didn't think it was going to happen. I don't know. And they don't want to talk to me now. They're like, man, he grown. That church over there growing. They're doing something. No, it ain't about that church. That's where you missed it. It's about his will. And if you can remember that, you can grow because you know what? It don't matter all the chaos that goes on in church life. If you're in the middle of the will, you're going to grow anyway. Right? And so you've got to know when discretion comes. You got to know what to say in the midst of something like that. How many remember when Jesus was confronted about the woman caught in the act of adultery? How many remember that scripture? Anybody remember that one? What did he say to the woman? What do you think he said to the woman? Raise your hand if you know. Go ahead. What did he say to the woman?
Where are your accusers?
Yeah. He stopped because he said after he got done talking, everybody was gone. Why? Because all those men looked at him and said, Jesus, according to the law, because in the Old Testament, if you catch someone in the act of adultery, you don't stone the woman. You don't stone the man. You stone the woman. And they done caught her red-handed. I don't know why they're looking in the window. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. But they caught her. See, sometimes you got to ask, how'd you find out? I saw so-and-so in a club. How'd you see them in the club? How do you? Yeah, you just told on yourself. Okay, watch this. So they done caught this woman in the act of adultery. They say the law says any man over the age of 33 must stone her. And all these young men had stones in their hand. The old men had stones ready to go. And they said, Jesus, here's yours. And Jesus had to use discretion because he was stuck. What was his dilemma? Can anybody figure out what his dilemma was? What was the law? I mean, what was his dilemma? Raise your hand if you think you knew, if you know. What was his dilemma? Hold on now.
Under the law, he had to stone her because under the law, adultery was punishable by death by stoning.
Okay. I didn't hear you, but I got it. I got you. So everybody age 33 and above had to stone him. But the problem was this. If he stoned that woman in the act of the adultery, then his ministry to people that have been caught in adultery is gone. And it's gone to all women. It would have ruined his ministry because he done killed somebody. He was, in our terms, it looked like he was stuck. But see, discretion popped on the scene. And the Bible says he didn't look at them, he didn't look at the woman. See, Jesus even has, look at this. See, Jesus had enough respect for the woman's problem. She was brought out naked. The shame of it. Think about people that have gone through a trial in their life and they've been ripped naked by the problem. And the world looks at them and sees their nakedness. And they either point a finger and laugh at him or they judge him. This woman was both judged and naked. And the Bible tells us Jesus looked down and wrote on the ground like he wasn't looking. He wasn't participating in their joy of making this woman's nakedness known by all. He put his head and began to write on the ground. And he said, ye which among you that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Kept on writing. Kept on writing. And the Bible says, from the oldest to the youngest, they walk with. Why? Because old men know their secrets. They just got away with it. Those who are older know, I lived a long life. I messed up a whole lot. They put their stones down for it. But the young men were still there. And then finally, they got the picture. And then Jesus says, woman, where are thine accusers? She says, they're gone. There are none. He says, neither do I accuse you. Go, sin no more. Never said he looked up. He didn't have to look at her. Shame. And church, let me say this. Discretion is this. If a person makes a mistake, and you know it, but yet they're repentant, and they're trying to get life change, don't look at their nakedness. Don't point and ask for judgment to be made on them. Don't pick up your stones and throw at them. Put your head down right in the sand and release them. Come on, somebody. Don't get caught up with the crowd. Because you don't know what yours is. See, some of us got secret ones. And some people, the most judgmental, have an issue that they're keeping secret. Because that's their issue. I learned a long time ago, man, you're too loud. You always talking about that. That's because that was their problem. Learn a lesson. I'll keep my head down, baby. You ain't going to pull nothing out on me. See, the reality is discretion allows a person to live on and give birth to more purpose in their life. Okay? Mistakes happen, but we have to be the ones who will not be the ones throwing the stones. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay, watch this. So it's discretion. Okay? Now, this is a kicker, verse 5. I want you to read it loud. Go. Uh-huh. Wow, this is powerful. Listen to me. Man, I wish the whole church was here because this right here is big. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. First of all, it talks about a person who's really wise, who really does got something going for them, they're always teachable. Write that down. The wise are always teachable. Now, don't come to me and tell me, here's my resume, my experience, my whatever, my this, my that. And yet when I tell you to go and clean a toilet, you tell me, I don't clean toilets. You don't know anything. You can't come and say, well, I've been a so-and-so for so many years. I can't learn. I already know all this. Then you are not wise. Wisdom. A wise man. It's given. Now watch this. Lenses. Everybody do this. Lenses. Put your lenses on. This is how you can tell who's a wise man. Look at your neighbor and say, are you wise? Look at him with the glasses. Yeah. See, now, listen, Proverbs just told you who the wise people are. Okay, let's put it in the context. If I give instruction to somebody and they say, well, I'm going to do it my way. Is that wisdom? No. Same way on the job. If your boss is trying to tell you how to do the job and you go, man, I can do it my own way. I like it. No, don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. That man, that woman is not wise. Now, you may be in the corner watching this go on. Now you know what wisdom doesn't look like. Lenses. Now you know, okay, don't hang around that person. Mm-mm. That person gets you in trouble. Wisdom. See, a wise man will always hear, I can't go on enough about this one, because a wise man doesn't tell you, well, I ain't got time to grow and go to Bible study. Come on now. Amen. Think about it. I ain't got time to read my Bible. It's nothing but wisdom. But if you don't go there, then you'll never get there. And a wise man will hear an increase in learning. In other words, he doesn't have it all. A wise man knows this one truth about himself. I don't know everything. Write that down, please. A wise man will say, I don't know everything. That's the first heart matter. That's a character. That's a character aspect. Proverbs is trying to give you a clue of what wisdom, people who are wise, looks like. They will say, I will listen to whatever you're saying because I want to learn. I want to grow. And they will increase in learning because they have that capability. And then it says, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Someone tell me what that means. What does that mean? A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Somebody who hasn't spoken yet. Over here. Okay.
If you listen, as you just mentioned, you attain knowledge of what the person's saying.
Yes.
And you become richer for it.
Yes. Okay, but what does it mean, attain wise counsels? Somebody who hasn't had a chance to speak yet, over here. There you go.
Talk to your elders or somebody that's more knowledgeable than you.
Listen, guys, when you're wise, you don't say, I got this. I know everything. I don't need anybody's help. I can do this by myself. No, a man of wisdom will find people who have wisdom and will ask them, what do you say? You know, the biggest problem that we have with in life is that we don't know what other people think of us. Let me say that again. We don't know what other people think of us. We walk around every single day thinking we got everybody fooled. But we don't want to ask, hey, where do you see weakness in my life? Where do you see I could be better? Where? You don't ask those questions. We don't ask. And so we think, man, I'm the baddest thing in the world. Man, I got it together. And everybody watching you saying, man, they that's so messed up. I'm serious. You just think you just knocked it out of the park. And everybody going, they are crazy. Get them. Set them down. Set them down. Right? Because we're afraid to ask somebody, what do you think? What is your opinion? How is my life? Let me tell you something. You've got to get into the practice of asking people, hey, pastor, like me or anybody else that you respect that has wisdom, tell me, how am I doing? People don't want to ask the pastor that. And don't ask me in church, please. Wait, say, I want to set an appointment. Please do it like that. Because if I have to tell you the truth, I don't want you crying right after service. But the reality is, how many times have we asked people around us, how am I doing? How am I doing? Am I living right? Am I living the standard? That's the critical thing. If you want to attain, a wise man will hear learning. A wise man will hear, and he will always increase in learning. And a man of understanding knows that I don't know everything and I need other people's help to get to where I need to be. And so let me go to the ones who can help me and say, "What? Tell me the truth. What do you see? Man." And not say, not play the game, not say, I'm not going to talk to nobody or ask anybody because I don't want to hear what they have to say. Then you are not, you have no understanding. You have to go to people around you and get good counsel. Somebody say amen, please.
Amen.
Amen. So watch this. Next verse, watch this. Why do you need this? Why do you need this? Because of this reason. To understand a proverb and an interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. How many know people who are wise talk differently? I took a class, a business course, and I sat in the class, and this is God's honest truth. And when I sat in the class, there were CEOs of companies there at the table with us. And the man that was instructing this class, these mentoring classes, if you will, said, all right, I'm going to teach you how to speak the language of the rich. I'm thinking, what language? I didn't know there was a language of the rich. No one told me. Well, I'm like, man, come on, man. You serious? And I was doubting it for a minute. And then when he finished what he was saying, I'm like, oh, my goodness. He's right. And what did I do? Went out and tried it. Sure did. Told me what to say when you want something and how to say it. And I walked out, and I remember went to the airport, and there was a problem with my flight. I went to one desk, and I said it like I normally say it. And the person looked at me and was like, no, we can't help you. Then I went to another desk, and I tried it, because I wanted an upgrade. New seat, nice seat, front seat. Went to another person, told them the way they told me to say it. That person said, of course, Mr. Yates, no problem, Mr. Yates. We'll go ahead and get this done for you. I'm like, I'll be doggone. I said, this is nonsense. There's a people gathering together talking about how to be successful and talk the language of the rich. I said, how come everybody doesn't have access to that? How come the church doesn't know this? How come we are the ones that have been given the words of life? And everything he said was in the Bible. I was taking notes like, oh, that's that verse. That's that verse. That's that verse. That's that verse. And it's all here in the book. And I'm thinking, how does the world know it and we don't? Truth, I mean, God's honest truth. So the reason is when you don't understand something, you go to people of wise counsels that know that so they can help you. Someone tell me in the Bible when this took place. Watch this. And to understand a proverb and the interpretation, because everybody don't understand proverbs. Okay? And there's interpretation, what it really means, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. When did this happen in the New Testament? When did this happen in the New Testament? This exactly happened. A man went to somebody for that reason. When? We got a hand up in the back. When did that happen?
I believe it's when the eunuch went to Philip.
Nailed it, baby. Remember, there was an watch this. This is the epitome of this verse. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts. Someone find the verse for me. Go ahead. Find the verse. It's. Do you know where it is? Let's go find it. Because this is amazing stuff. Book of Acts. We're going to go Book of Acts, and we're going to go to chapter 6. Is it 6? No. Maybe 7. Oh, why am I taking the wrong one? Here we go. Anybody find it? Philip? Where is it? Chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 8 and go down to 26. Man, I'm running out of time, man. Oh! Let me tell you something. I am the way I am today. Let me just tell you this. Because God put me face first in Proverbs. He didn't take me anywhere else. When I got saved, he put me face first in Proverbs because I was silly. Okay? You want to grow? You want to... Listen, you don't... You know what wisdom is? What wisdom does for you? Wisdom can tell you something in 20 minutes what took them 20 years to get. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is you don't have to struggle for 20 years like I did. Let me give it to you in 20 minutes and you progress further than I did. That's wisdom. So Solomon is giving us wisdom, and this is why it's so important for us to read and to absorb the book, because it has a spiritual effect. Watch this. Starting in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake to Philip. He was an evangelist, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is in the desert. He told him, I want you to go to a particular city. I want you to go to Wildwood. That's where I want you to go. And he said, just go to Wildwood. Didn't tell him why. Just said, go. And he arose and what? Next verse. He arose and what? Went. Didn't ask any questions. Followed the Spirit of the Lord. Went down there. And behold, a man of Ethiopia. A eunuch of what? Say it again. He was of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. I want you to understand who this man is. This man was made a eunuch because he was always around the queen of Ethiopia. So that you, everyone know what a eunuch is. Everybody, please raise your hand. Do you know what a eunuch is? If you know what it is, raise your hand. Wow, I got to say it. Okay, a eunuch is when you're, in order to protect the queen, they don't let men have man parts around the queen. So they cut them off. So that the queen will never be unsafe. That's why they made them eunuchs. Okay? So here's this dude. He ain't got no other purpose in life but to do a good job, right? He was done with them cutting days. Watch what happens. So he's representing the queen. He's so good. And wise and sharp and on the money. But yet, he's hungry. A unit of great authority under Candace Queen of Ethiopians who had the charge of what? Some of a treasure? All of it. So this ain't a stupid man. This is a highly intellectual man who understood business. This was a man who didn't play and couldn't play. It was no joke. This man knew how to deal. Look at this. Because he handled all of what? Her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was a Jew by heart. Look at verse 28. Watch this. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Esaias the prophet. That Esaias means Isaiah the prophet. He was sitting in his chariot one day, reading his Bible in the middle of nowhere. The middle of nowhere. How many know God can reach you wherever you are? God can find you in the... Listen, he was like by the way of the desert. Down in the desert, the dude was on his way, and yet he was sitting at lunchtime, sitting on the park, sitting in their car, reading the Bible, right? Reading, just wherever they were, God knew how to get to them. Watch this. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading the prophet Isaiah. Look what happened next. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. He's like, man, that dude, he's important. The Spirit said, go. What happens next? Look at this. Let's everyone read. Okay, here we go. One, two, three, go. Oh, stop right there. Stop. There's so much power here, man. Okay. Philip obeyed the Spirit instantly. Hello, somebody. No, you missed it. Hello, somebody. Philip obeyed the Spirit instantly. What if Philip walked? Read the whole verse to yourself. What if he walked? Ask the question. Would have missed what? See, he ran. It was important that when God tells you to do something, you don't walk on it. You run with it. And don't second guess it. Because the reason, how many in here God put something on your mind? One, two, three times. And you like, nah, that's crazy. Listen, when the Spirit of God is speaking, run. And it was that purpose, the heart, that God knew this man was going to run. And he ran to the chariot and heard the man reading the book of Isaiah. And it was hard to, how many ever read the book of Isaiah? Anybody ever read that? It's not the easiest book in the world to read. Okay? And he ran and Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? Look at the next verse. Watch this. We're still in Proverbs. And he said, how can I except some man, Jesus, good God Almighty, some man should what? Listen, before we get all haughty about, I don't need no man, pastor to teach me, I don't need nobody, I got the Spirit. If you're still in your flesh, you can't hear the Spirit. You got to get around where someone understands what they're saying so you can grow, because you need mentors. You need people that will help you. The wise attend unto wise what? Counsels. This is what's happening. This man was wise. He had intellect. He had knowledge. And yet he was teachable. He didn't know it all. He said, listen, when it comes, I may be good in my business, but when it comes to the word of God, I don't understand it. How can I know unless I go to people in that field and ask questions? Listen, just because you're good in one field don't mean you're good in another. Don't be ashamed to go ask and tell somebody, tell me, help me understand. How can I know unless somebody tell me? And so Philip said, listen, I can tell you what you're talking about. And Philip, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I love this. This was a rich man. And he invited him into his chariot, place of comfort, simply because he obeyed God. Sometimes we miss opportunities because we're afraid to follow the Spirit. And we miss being called up to a higher place. I don't want that to happen to you. Look at verse 32. We're almost done. The place of the scripture which he read was this, and he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened not his mouth. 33. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. It was written in Isaiah. Verse 34, watch this. And a eunuch answered, Philip, come on, man. I've been reading this thing for a while. And he says, and I pray thee, who is he talking about? Who is the prophet talking about? I don't know who this man is. Is it himself? Or some other man? That's wisdom. The ask questions. They don't always want people to say, well, I don't want people to know I don't know. Listen, I'm telling you, if you don't know, raise your hand and ask the question. Because God's already sent a man to give you an answer. You thinking, I don't want to be shamed. And God said, I done spoke to him from another city to get here for you to answer your question, and you shamed to ask. I had this man come all the way here by the Spirit to talk to you. Ask. And watch this. Is this himself or some other man? Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He broke down the dark sayings of the old Bible, the prophecies about Christ, the wise proverbs about Christ coming in the book of Isaiah. He broke them down. Who did he go to? A man of wise counsels. Go back to Proverbs where we were, and we'll close out there. See, this man was important. And the proverb says that we must attend to wise counsels and we will increase our learning. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1, that is. Proverbs chapter 1. And look what he says, verse 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. Now, listen. Rather than go out and when your kids or somebody you don't like doesn't do what you say, you a fool. Don't do that. Because Proverbs says you refuse instruction. You a fool. What's Proverbs for? It's to give you lenses to look through so you know what you're looking at. And it says here, this is how you know people around you can be foolish. If they reject wisdom and instruction, they're foolish. And you have to know whether you are the person that's on the foolish side or the wise side. And switch to the right side. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's give God a great hand clap of praise. Listen, we need Proverbs. We need to finish going. And the next couple of weeks, that's exactly what we're going to do, walking through Proverbs so that you can understand what God wants you to learn. Come prepared because it'll hit you on a side you never even thought of. Okay? But God wants you to know, be teachable. Be teachable. Submit to men of wisdom and those in authority over you and people that have understanding. Find people around you that know what you don't know. Be okay asking questions and never be afraid to raise your voice and say, I need to understand. That's the habit of the wise. My wife know and my family know, I always ask, why is that happening? Why? Why? The Bible says this. Why? Why do I need to do it that way? Why? I ask God all the time. Why? Why? Help me understand, God. I don't get it. Why? Why? I need to understand. Help me, somebody. Help me understand. Now I call somebody. Do you know what this means? Blah, 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 blah. Listen, I ain't ashamed. I want to grow, and I want to be a man of wisdom for you, so I can't be proud. Do the same, and you will grow, and you would be an asset, a well of water for people who are dying of thirst that are all around you. Okay?